Welcome to the Ashley Hand Show and to Reignited, a series of potent episodes and conversations with incredible individuals who have risen from the ashes of who they once were and reimagined, rediscovered, realigned, and reignited the most liberated expression of who they are now. So if you're in the midst of a transition of sorts, a reinvention, a shift, or maybe even a dark night of the soul, this is for you. And as for me, I'm Ashley Han, brand strategist, entrepreneur, author, coach, and very proud mama of my beautiful daughter, Skyla Vera. And oh my goodness, since I have become a mother, I have been deep in my own process of rediscovering, realigning, and reigniting this new version of me. So I will be sharing my own learnings, my process, and my upgrades as I've been on my own reignition journey as well. Now, let's get ready to feel reinvigorated and reignited in today's episode. Oh, and be sure to stay tuned until the very end because I will be announcing something super special and time sensitive that I am so excited about. And with that, let's dive into the episode. So you want to know something crazy? Well, crazy thing number one is that I never thought I would be doing an episode on herpes. And I can honestly say that I'm not even nervous sitting down recording this episode right now. I'm actually feeling really excited and liberated and like, yes, I finally get to do this. I know, I'm weird. But crazy thing number two is that back in February, I actually had a VIP day with my coach and we were planning out my next few months and we had planned to release my podcast episode about the leaked nudes in March, which I did, and then this episode about herpes in April. And just saying that, I'm like, you're going to do what now? Leaked nudes, herpes. So that's not even the craziest part. Okay. The time we planned this, at that time, we had no idea that April, this month, is in fact STI Awareness Month. Like, what? Can't make that shit up. I only realized this a few weeks ago. And when I realized it, I was like, what? If I need any sort of confirmation from God that I needed to do this and do it now, that was it. So, why on earth would I be putting an episode out into this world telling everybody that I have herpes? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly why. But first, let me give you a bit of context. So I contracted HSV, herpes simplex virus, about 6 years ago from one of my exes. And I will never forget that day. Well, I tried to. I buried it for many, many years. So I was having some very uncomfortable and painful symptoms down south. So I made a doctor's appointment. And at the doctor's office, when she came back with my results, telling me that I tested positive for herpes, it was like one of those surreal moments where everything just sort of slowed down really quickly and my forehead went cold. Everything got really quiet. The doctor's voice started kind of fading into the background like wah, wah, wah. And my heart was beating faster and louder. I had a slight ringing noise starting to sound off in my ear. Basically, I felt like I was on the verge of passing out. So yeah, I didn't really hear anything that my doctor said after my diagnosis was given. All I know is she gave me some kind of herpes pamphlet that I'll talk about later. And I got in my car and I drove home shaking in this sort of daze. And when I got home, I went straight into my room. I shut off all my lights. I got in my bed and I hid under the blankets and just cried. I thought my life was over. I was a total mess. And finally, after about an hour or two of my blanket funeral, I got the courage to call my boyfriend at the time. And it was right in the middle of his workday and he was very busy. But through tears, I urged the importance that he come over right away so I could give him the horrible news the life-threatening news about how both of our lives were essentially over. And so when he came over, he was so confused. He had no idea what was going on. And I finally told him about the diagnosis. And I'll never forget his reaction. He just sort of like laughed it off, said it wasn't a big deal. And I think he even made a little joke about like, well, now I guess you're stuck with me. And we never talked about it again after that. And to be honest, his super chill, nonchalant response did sort of help me break out of that like doomsday energy that I was in at the time. But looking back now, it's pretty clear that he already knew that he had herpes and just didn't think it was a big deal. Or maybe he played it off like it wasn't a big deal to make me feel better and save his ass. Who really knows? Which, by the way, is very interesting given where I'm about to go with this episode in a little bit. So, okay, back to the story. After my boyfriend left, I was still really shaken up by the whole thing. So I ended up actually calling my mom and telling her everything, whereby she reassured me that everything was going to be okay, that the best thing for me to do was to not stress and definitely not to tell anyone ever, that this would be our secret. So, of course, my mom was just trying to protect me, right? That's what moms do. But here's the thing about secrets. She was saying not to stress, but actually secrets, they cause stress on a subliminal level because secrecy breeds shame. When we keep a secret, we often are keeping it out of fear of judgment or rejection, typically because we judge or reject it ourselves, which in my case was totally accurate. This anxiety about potential negative reactions thereby contributes to those feelings of shame, right? And secondly, keeping a secret leads to feelings of isolation and loneliness. And this feeling of isolation can increase feelings of shame because that person may feel like they're uniquely flawed or unworthy. Again, true in my case. Shame wants you to think that you're alone. It thrives in being alone and being in the dark. Shame cannot survive in the light. Secrets also force people to live in a way that is not congruent or aligned with their values. It can be a sort of means of self-protection, like a way to avoid reality. And this misalignment and this cognitive dissonance creates a sort of internal conflict that can then manifest as shame because it feels as if we are not being true to ourselves or others, like we're living a lie, which again, compounds feelings of shame. Again, true for me. So unbeknownst to all of this, that's what I did. I buried it. I buried my herpes along with my shame for years. And honestly, most days I forgot I even had it. I still to this day have never had another single outbreak since that very first outbreak I had 6 or so years ago when I first contracted it. But then of course, as shame does, it would get triggered and then rear its ugly head from time to time. And it was like this ghost that haunted me for years that I could never fully run away from. Okay, so now I want to tell you why I'm even sharing all of this with you because I have some pretty big whys. Number one, remember when I shared the experience about how when I found out that I had herpes from my doctor and I felt that like my life was over, or how I decided along with my mom to bury it and keep it a secret and never tell anyone? Well, as much as shame wanted me to think that I was alone in both of these experiences, I'm not. Because fact is, the way that I reacted and responded to my diagnosis is extremely common. And you want to know why that is? It's because of the very large and overpowering stigma that exists around herpes. A stigma, as you may or may not know, is a negative stereotype. It's a label that society uses to set certain individuals or groups apart as lesser or flawed. And it can be created from cultural beliefs, from misinformation, fear of the unknown, and it often leads to discrimination, to bullying, to rejection, to social exclusion, all of which can have a profound negative impact on a person's overall health and well-being. So my reason number one for this episode and sharing my story is breaking the fucking stigma. And I believe that this particular stigma exists because of the misinformation and people just simply not being properly educated and aware of the facts. Thanks to the awesome sex education we get in school, the standard and subpar medical protocols and testing, more on this later, and the fact that when I was diagnosed with herpes, I was given a pamphlet that basically said the solution to not spreading is to just be abstinent and refrain from having sex for the rest of your life. So, yeah. Talk about, like, that's why I was like, doomsday, my life is over. And of course, the fact that pop culture uses STIs as punchlines and stereotypes, I think instantly of that famous hangover quote. Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for herpes. That shit will come back with you. That is exactly what amplifies this stigma. It's what reinforces this stigma. It sends the message that herpes happens to gross people, or that people who get herpes are doomed. And that is just simply not true. Couldn't be further from the truth. Quick story. I remember back in college when I first heard about someone actually having herpes, and it was a friend of a friend, couple actually, they both had it. And I remember my friend telling me, yeah, so, you know, they actually aren't the happiest together, but they've realized, like, obviously now they're stuck together. So they just put up with each other knowing that because they have herpes, they've got to make it work. They're stuck. And I also remember this feeling, this essence of like, they have cooties. And none of us wanted to catch it. So we would try not to be around them or end up at the same parties as them. We were scared of them. So many of us treat herpes like it's the fucking plague. And it's just not true. So what I'm about to tell you now is what is true. I'm going to give you the straight facts. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to dispel the myths, the misconceptions, and I'm going to set it straight. First off, herpes is just a super boring yet highly stigmatized and very common skin condition. And it's considered a sexually transmitted infection, or an STI, because it can be spread through oral, vaginal, and anal sex. But it's often not sexual at all. You can actually contract herpes without having sex. Family members can give each other oral herpes by kissing when they have cold sores. And yes, cold sores are herpes. And actually, fact, most HSV-1 infections are acquired during childhood. You know, like when your Aunt Cindy Lou Who with a little cold sores came to visit every Christmas and smothered you in kisses because you were just so cute. Yeah, that's apparently one of the most common ways it happens. Fact number two, well over half of the population has herpes, either HSV-1, HSV-2, or a combination of both. HSV-1, by the way, is otherwise known as oral herpes. So it's the cold sores or blisters in and around the mouth, and it can sometimes cause genital herpes. And HSV-2 is specifically genital herpes. Now, let's break these stats down even further by type. 2 in 3 people have HSV-1. 1 in 6 people have HSV-2, or 1 in 5 women, and apparently 1 in 4 New Yorkers. So let me paint this picture for you so you can really see this. 1 in 3 people have allergies. 1 in 3 people have allergies. 2 in 3 people have herpes, which means that herpes is more common than allergies. But again, the reason someone can easily and even confidently say, I have allergies to a complete stranger, but certainly can't say, I have herpes to someone they've maybe even known for years, is because of this darn stupid stigma that I'm committed to breaking. Okay, let's keep going because these stats get even better and juicier. Next one, 92% of people with herpes don't even know they have it. Yep. And this is for 2 reasons. 1, many people have mild symptoms that can be easily mistaken for something else or no symptoms at all. And 2, herpes is not, I repeat, not included in standard STD screenings. So when you go and ask to be tested for STDs, get the STD panel or whatever, herpes was more than likely not included. And actually, doctors don't like testing for herpes unless you are actually showing symptoms, which, by the way, most people are asymptomatic. They don't show symptoms because the reason why they don't like testing for herpes is because they know that the psychological effects far outweigh the physical effects. Case in point, me. I have had zero physical effects since that first day that I was diagnosed 6 years ago. Physically, it honestly feels like I don't even have it. Feels like nothing. But those psychological effects, man, yeah, those were a wild ride again because of how stigmatized this is. Which, side note story, once I did enough shame release work to get myself to a solid, grounded place to be able to share that I have HSV confidently on a one-to-one level and one-to-many, like here on this very podcast, for example, I realized something. Just by taking away those gnarly mental, emotional, psychological effects, if I had a buffet of options in front of me, and there was herpes, and there was a couple of other skin conditions like eczema, acne, maybe some allergies like pollen allergies, food allergies. And then God was like, okay, Ashley, pick one. I'd pick my herpes. I seriously would. I seriously would. Because guys, literally, it feels like I don't even have it. And get this, I invested in a very powerful hypnotherapy and somatic release session where I wanted to excavate and clear any remnants of sticky stuff around herpes so that I could be super grounded and in my power when I finally chose to share it on my platform publicly like this. And literally, can't make this shit up, when we completed the session, the practitioner, the hypnotherapist, said that she had herpes too and that she had it for something like, I want to say 16 or 17 years and hasn't had a single outbreak since 17 years ago when she contracted it. And that's actually what I've found to be true as I began sharing openly and honestly with my friends and family. I would get either one of two responses. The first response is genuine curiosity and absolutely no judgment or rejection like I thought I would get. It's like I finally gave them permission to talk about this like taboo thing that no one ever dares to talk about. Again, the reason why there's such lack of awareness and misinformation. Nobody talks about it. And then the second response I typically would get is me too, or that someone very close to them, aka maybe their partner, their best friend, their mom, etc., has herpes too. And those who respond with me too always say the same thing, that they haven't had an outbreak in years or since the first and only time when they contracted it. So here's what I'm getting at. Not only is herpes ridiculously common, it's also not as scary as people make it out to be. I had a best friend for 6 years. We were like sisters, attached at the hip, inseparable. And this is not, by the way, an exaggeration or a lie or an embellishment at all. She was obsessed with her fear of herpes. I kid you not, this is real life. Contracting herpes was her absolute biggest fear. If you asked her, what is your biggest fear? She would say contracting herpes. 1,000%. She would freak out anytime she saw like a pimple near her mouth or any like little rash or red bumps. She would literally go crazy into this downward spiral and have this like incurable, severe, crippling anxiety for days. I remember always trying to like ease her out of it and talk her down and tell her it's probably nothing and it's probably fine. But y'all, I would be lying if I said that none of that intense fear got on me. If you're best friends, practically spending every waking second of the day together, either physically together, on the phone, or texting each other, you definitely will absorb some of their shit. That's just what happens. The good stuff and the not so good stuff. And as the quote says, after all, you become who you most hang around. So how ironic and wild is it that I end up contracting herpes literally right after our friendship ended. Literally, we had a pretty intense best friend breakup. That's another story for another day. Actually, I'm pretty sure you can find that episode on my podcast already, and it's titled something like Sister Wounds or Sisterhood Heartbreak, something like that. Anyways, back to the facts. I want to go back to the facts. All right. The only way that herpes can be detected without symptoms or in between outbreaks is via a blood test. And even when you do that, you have to specifically ask to be tested for both HSV1 and HSV2, or they won't do it. And even if you specifically ask for it, these tests can sometimes even give false positive and false negative results. So, okay, let's talk about quickly about transmission. This is the big question mark, right? Okay, first, I'll dispel the myth about condoms. Condoms do not fully prevent the risk of transmitting herpes for the simple fact that condoms do not cover everything down there, and herpes is transmitted through skin-to-skin contact. Also, herpes is not only contagious when you're having an outbreak. It can also happen in between outbreaks as well, mainly with HSV-2. HSV-1, oral herpes, transmission happens less frequently in the absence of symptoms. For people with HSV-2, genital herpes, they may experience what's called asymptomatic shedding, which does also happen with HSV-1, but just less frequently. And research indicates that HSV-2 can shed on approximately 10 to 20% of days. And this frequency is higher in the first year after infection and typically decreases over time. However, herpes transmission can be pretty easy to prevent once you know your status and you take the precautions that make the most sense for you. Over time, you'll learn when you have outbreaks, if you even have another outbreak, which many of us don't. And commonly for people with HSV-1, outbreaks can be triggered by things like sunlight and salt water, and extreme stress and other illnesses can also trigger outbreaks because the immune system is being weakened and compromised. So you may even have lead-up symptoms like tingling or itching that warn you that you're about to have an outbreak. And you're most likely to transmit herpes to a partner just before, during, or after an outbreak. And if you avoid skin contact at the place where you have outbreaks during those times, you should be fine. Also, some people will take antiviral treatment, which can almost completely eliminate the risk of shedding and transmission. I think it's like something like 80 to 90%. The most common ones are Zovirax and Valtrex. So some people will take these antiviral drugs, not just for when they have the outbreaks or episodes, but also as a sort of suppressive therapy to reduce the frequency of outbreaks, asymptomatic shedding, and also transmission. And finally, fun fact, the people who are most likely to transmit herpes are people who don't know they have herpes. That's why starting to have healthy, normal dialogue around this is so important, so we can not only create more awareness, but also stop the spread of misinformation. Okay, so that's it for the data, the statistics, and all the fact portion of this episode. Now, I want to tell you a pretty crazy story about the first time that I ever told anyone other than my mom that I had herpes. It was my very first women's retreat that I ever had. I flew in a guest facilitator who is also a good friend of mine to support and lead a couple of workshops and experiences alongside me, which I love doing, by the way, and I always do now. I typically bring in multiple female leaders to lead alongside me at my retreats because it's just so much more fun and dynamic that way. I love it. Anyways, so she was about to lead a very powerful shame release exercise, and we were sitting in my room sort of planning it out together. And she said, "We get to go first." And I was like, "Huh?" She was like, "Yeah. Do you have any secrets or anything that you hold shame about?" And then as I'm deliberating on the question, she goes into, I kid you not, how powerful it was for her when she shared about her herpes. By the way, she had no idea I had herpes. No one did, except my mom and my ex. So then finally, after a few moments pass, I muster the courage to say, "I have herpes too." She asked me if I had told anyone ever, and I said I've basically kept it a secret for the last few years, and I'm sure you can guess what probably came next. She proceeded to tell me that this was my moment, that I was going to go first in front of my entire group of women, my clients, and tell them the thing that I didn't want anyone to ever know about me, the thing I swore I'd never tell anyone, that I have herpes. And I'm proud to say that through clammy, shaking, wobbly, knocking knees, lots of tears, I stood up in front of my clients that day and I told them my secret, that I have herpes. And then something amazing and pretty wild happened. 4 out of the 8 women in front of me at my retreat stood up one after the other saying, "Me too." Y'all, I can't make this shit up. That is how common it is. That day really marked the start of a journey that was certainly not linear, but taught me so much about my own strength and resilience and true worth, because I've realized that I know exactly why I got herpes. It's not because I'm dirty or bad or promiscuous or flawed, but of course I attracted the thing that makes people feel flawed, unworthy, unlovable, because that's how I felt. I felt flawed, unworthy, and unlovable before I even got the herpes. So it was a perfect match for me in my mess that I have been able since to turn into my message. Because what if I didn't contract herpes because I'm flawed, unworthy, and unlovable? What if I contracted herpes to show me that I am actually the total opposite of those things? Follow me here. Because if I can find out that I have one of the most highly stigmatized and quote unquote disgusting STIs in the world and still love myself through that, I must be pretty fucking amazing. You know what I'm saying? If people can find out that I have a highly stigmatized, quote unquote, disgusting, gross STI and still love me and want to be my friend, I must be pretty fucking lovable and worthy. Do you feel what I'm saying here? What if I got herpes so that I could finally get how truly valuable and amazing and lovable and worthy that I am underneath it all, underneath any diagnosis or STI or whatever? What if my herpes is actually not a curse, but a gift, not a burden, but a blessing? Because God and I knew that I would be brave enough to eventually do something about it, to break the stigma, to flip the script, to do something like what I'm doing right now. And who knows what might come from this? So I gotta know, are you with me? Are you with me in helping to break the stigma so that we can finally say, I have herpes, just as openly as we would say, I have allergies? Because it's just as common. And having herpes doesn't mean that you're an irresponsible, promiscuous liar. You're not immoral or untrustworthy or disgusting or damaged. Herpes is not some karmic punishment. It's a super common and super boring skin condition that almost everyone has. Guys, I don't know if you know this part of my story, but I actually used to be suicidal. When I first found out that I had herpes, all of those thoughts came rushing back. Just imagine if I had acted on those thoughts. And imagine who else in this world right now might be going through something just like that. So some people may think that it's totally weird that I am publishing an episode about herpes. Some people may call it oversharing, and that's fine. For me, I know that spearheading and leaning into these vulnerable, real conversations help us realize we actually have nothing to hide, which is such medicine. Look, I may have a total vulnerability hangover after publishing this episode, but if my story and this episode helps even just one person in this world feel less alone and afraid, it's 100% worth it to me. Herpes is something that I refuse to be embarrassed about. Life is just too short for that shit. And with this month being STI Awareness Month, I hope you'll help me by sharing this episode out so we can create change together, so we can free more people from the shackles of shame, so we can actually do something to cure this loneliness epidemic where so many people feel like they're the only one going through something that's actually really common. Also, I just want to be super clear that I am not in any way, shape, or form pushing for you to share something like having herpes, for example, publicly on your platform, especially if you're not ready to share it and if it doesn't feel authentic or aligned for you, and especially if you have not built the, as I like to say, unfuckwithable resilience and skin to be able to withstand any of the things that might be thrown your way in the aftermath. For me personally, I am so effing committed. I am committed AF to walking this path, to expanding beyond my edges and being the change that I want to see in the world. I'm like a maniac on a freaking mission, okay? And like one of my favorite authors, Glennon Doyle, says, I'm here to live and tell my truth. Anything or anyone that I can lose by telling the truth and being me was never meant for me anyway. I'm willing to lose anything that requires me to hide any part of myself. By the way, before I end this episode, I also just want to give a massive, huge shout out to Ella Dawson, who I feel really pioneered this path of boldly and confidently breaking the herpes stigma, who I learned a lot from. By the way, a lot of the things that I shared in this episode, I learned from her. So big shout out to you, Ella Dawson. You're amazing. And that is all, y'all. Thank you for listening. I hope this made a difference for you. And if it did, please share it because it could also make a difference for somebody else. And of course, be sure to leave a rating and review and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. I mean, who knows what else I got in store, y'all? First nudies, then herpes. What's next? Bring it on. Love you. Have a powerful day. If this episode inspired you and you would love to dive deeper with me and be a part of my exclusive, powerful sisterhood community of heart-led, multi-passionate, ambitious, soul-aligned, badass women that you can heal with, grow with, expand with, rise and soar with, then you gotta join my Ignite Portal. And the Ignite Portal, if you haven't heard, is the portal through which you light that spark within you and become fully ignited, unstoppable, and on fire in your business, your being, and your life. In it, you'll not only be part of an epic community of women who will literally become your sisters and your rise or dies, you'll also get access to my vault, which is a true treasure trove of trainings, workshops, masterclasses, and resources that I've built through the years that you can tap into anytime and binge watch like your favorite Netflix show. The vault is also always growing with new, fresh, relevant content. You'll also get live mini audio trainings from me every single week, which I call weekly upgrades, which are essentially bite-sized, potent audio trainings, about 5 to 15 minutes each, that you can listen to conveniently on the go, wherever you are, driving to work, while you wash the dishes, whenever, wherever. And you get all of this for just $97 a month. Y'all, if that's not a steal of a deal, I don't know what is. And get this, if you're not absolutely in love, you can cancel anytime. No strings attached. And just because you're listening to this episode and you're here right now, I am going to gift you a free 3-day trial. So you can hop in there and check it out. The link can be found in the show notes. So what are you waiting for? Jump in the portal and be a part of the movement of bold, brave, badass women, igniting women all over the world. Check the show notes for details. And as always, be sure to rate, review, subscribe if you enjoy this episode, and please share it out if it made a difference for you so it can make a difference for more people. I'll see you on the next episode.